Welcome back to the Power Hour. We're talking to Dave Janda, DaveJanda.com, DaveJanda.com. And you can hear his great Operation Freedom radio show, DaveJanda.com. He is an experienced orthopedic surgeon with many government connections, was able to see a lot of things. He was in the middle of telling the story of his experience at the end of Reagan administration to Bush, and I was getting into a little more. So go ahead and finish that, if you would, Dave.
Was that when we dealt with Reagan, he was very much into free market reform and taking on the insurance industry and the pharmaceutical industry and big medicine. Bush came in and kind of dropped the whole ball and ran away because too much money was made from those organizations. I was then, as I mentioned, contacted by the Clinton administration about, well, we understand you have some ideas about health care policy. I presented the information to them at that time. Dr. Koop was out of Washington at that point. And they said, no, we're not interested in this. And we get too much support from the insurance industry, pharmaceutical industry, and big medicine. And at that point, Dan, I recognized the fact that there's one political party in our government that's called what I call the Republicrats, and they're both owned and operated by a criminal syndicate financial structure, and it's all about the money and not about people. And it's interesting because after Clinton left office, George Bush II, as you know, came in, and we were not initially contacted by them, but after several years, they were getting hammered about the fact that they were not putting any proposals forward about health care reform. They contacted me, and I again presented the information, again, the same information, very similar modifications that we did in 1988 and then in 92 and 96. And the response back from the Bush II administration was, you know, we're not going to take on the insurance industry, pharmaceutical industry, or big medicine. We get a lot of support from them, which is no different. And then once Obama came into power, forget about it, because Obama was was part of the same syndicate that I believe both Bushes and Clinton were, and that's the globalist syndicate. What was interesting, Dan, was that when I first went to Washington in 88, you were kind of given a orientation, if you will, as far as, okay, here's where the boss being President Reagan, President Reagan is on the general issues, and this is where you need to focus your efforts. Well, it actually, the presentation they gave was very similar to a speech he had given, gosh, I think when he was running for governor the first time of California, at a university, I believe it might have been UCLA. And in particular, the focus was this. The right-left axis is theater. It's meant to divide and conquer. The right-left axis should not be focused upon by yourself. The president wants you to focus on the up-down axis, up being freedom and down being oppression. And Wow. Your goal is to enhance the freedoms of as many people as possible and to block those individuals that are trying to oppress the American citizens. And we were told that there is a group of individuals that have significant power that only work that axis. And this was to be our opposition. And that that group of individuals, and they didn't say deep state, they didn't say globalist syndicate, but that's what they were talking about.
Dave, let me interject a question right there, a couple things. What in the world went through your mind when you saw the government really poo-poo these amazing ideas that you had to help healthcare? And then two, what went through your mind when they said, oh, yeah, there's going to be this group of people opposing you in this up-down paradigm fight?
So that talk about up-down was when I first got there with Dr. Koop and the Reagan folks. And actually, my experience with the Reagan folks was very positive. I really felt that the government was actually trying to do what's right for every American. It's when Bush came into power that I really started to question that because of how they pushed everything to the back burner, and it actually brought forward to me that initial presentations that I had had and all of us had that got, you know, came on board about, wait a minute, you know, who is this administration playing for? You know, because they've taken the freedom stuff and pushed it to the back. Who exactly is this administration in support of? And it you know, it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that that administration was actually playing for the very entity that we were told to fight against by President Reagan. And in fact, one of the first observations I made when I first got there, and again, I was at a very low level. I was not a, you know, I was at a very low level. And my interactions were on healthcare and healthcare policy. But it became very obvious to me very quickly that those that supported President Reagan in the administration did not get along very well for the most part. Terrible to generalize, but I think an appropriate generalization. Did not get along well with those administration officials that were supportive of the vice president, Vice President George H.W. Bush. It became so that was always a question in my mind, even when at the very end of the Reagan presidency, why don't they seem to be playing on the same team? But remember, Reagan's policy people always had the upper hand. It's once we started to see and watch the Bush, H.W. Bush people come into power and what their priorities were, that's where a number of us were like, wow, this is going to be a problem. And
let me ask you a very point blank question. Obviously, there's been a push for Obamacare. You're right in the middle of it. Socialized medicine, they're talking about. Maybe it's a veiled socialized medicine, single payer system. All these words we have been thrown around.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, what is your opinion of those? And is your initial plan still viable?
Our initial plans are very viable, and in fact, there have been a number of people that have brought forward our more free market approach that easily could be implemented. And many people say, well, if Obamacare goes away, it'll take months, if not years, to implement a new program, and hundreds of thousands of people will die, and millions of people will lose. No, that is pure, pure fear porn. There's a gentleman I have come on my show by the name of David Powell. He's an insurance guru, but not the big insurance company. And he is a guy who really looks out on the insurance side for every American. And David has shown, and he's actually had legislation introduced, passed, and implemented in the states of Kansas and Idaho, where the minute you start to institute free market principles and utilize health savings accounts, direct primary care, these high-risk pools and the like, premiums drop by 70%.
Oh, my gosh.
And increased competition occurs where the insurance companies actually have to compete against each other.
Wow.
And it all happens once this legislation kicked in, and essentially Obamacare didn't get removed in those states, but other options were put forward. Within 24 hours, other insurance companies were coming in and offering products and had premiums that were far less than were associated with Obamacare policy.
Ooh, that's fantastic.
I when I got done with my residency at the University of Michigan in orthopedic surgery, I did a fellowship in shoulder reconstructive surgery and sports medicine in Canada. And when I went there, I thought I was getting an education in sports medicine and shoulder reconstructive surgery, which I did, because the top guy in the world was based there, Richard Hawkins. But I also got an education in healthcare policy, which was completely inadvertent, because Canada, as you know, is a national healthcare delivery system. And I got a huge, enormous education in healthcare policy as it relates to experiencing and working in a national healthcare approach. And the very first observation I made was that there were phenomenal physicians and nurses and therapists that worked in the Canadian healthcare system and provided great care in spite of the system, because the national healthcare system in Canada is based upon what I believe is the most inhumane means and way to cut health care costs, and that is the rationing and denying of care. Rather than having the patient as an active participant in the care, the patient was pushed to the side, and who ran the system were government bureaucrats who had no functional medical knowledge. And the entire system was cutting costs on the basis of rationing and denying care. And my approach, with our research, we showed if you really want to cut healthcare costs, and the most humane way to cut healthcare costs, is to prevent healthcare need by focusing on prevention and wellness initiatives.
Whoa, Dave. You're saying you actually want to prevent sickness and illness? Oh, my gosh. No wonder they ran you out of Washington.
Well, no. Not only Washington, Dan, but I got fairly ostracized from the medical community on a national basis because of my push on prevention and wellness, which focused on having fewer people go to the doc, fewer people go to the hospital, fewer people have surgeries, fewer people get medications, and when you have people using less resources, it makes it very difficult for insurance companies to raise the prices, right? So the insurance industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the hospital industry, the AMA, they were all against this approach, an approach that benefits every person and not only cuts their health care costs, but increases the chance for their longevity.
Well, you know, we hear this, well, health care is a right, and then they use that as an excuse. So, well, now we got to ration it for everybody and give it to everybody, but take half of it away. I mean, when I was born, I don't think one of my God-given rights was health care. I didn't think that.
I don't either, and when I read the Constitution, I don't see it there as a right. But what it should be is an affordable commodity.
Amen.
Unaffordable, if you look at the cost curve of health care, when you start to see it start kicking up starting in around 1962, 1963. And what happened in 1962 or 63 is government got more involved in the healthcare industry.
No, imagine that.
And that is when the cost curve went up. Let me give you an example.
Hold that thought. We're coming out of the break. There's the music. Hold the thought right there. We'll get it on the other side. Also, as a doctor, you know, the biggest medical story in America, certainly not the world, is this abortion thing. We'll get your thoughts on that and more. Border. DaveJanda.com. Stay tuned. ThePowerHour.com. Welcome back to The Power Hour. We're talking to Dave Janda, Dr. Dave Janda from DaveJanda.com. His great broadcast, Operation Freedom. You can get it there on his website. He, of course, is a doctor. Has been connected to administrations on national levels, local levels, patient-doctor relationship, the whole thing. He's a very interesting resource. And politically, he's very astute and has many connections, too. Shows very interesting. The biggest medical story in the world, if not America certainly, if not the world, is the new abortion laws in New York, the push in Virginia. You as a doctor, what's kind of your feelings on this?
Well, in the first part of our conversation today, Dan, we focused on what my efforts has been in medicine, not only being an orthopedic surgeon, but focusing on prevention and wellness. Well, abortion doesn't exactly fit into the prevention and wellness category.
No.
Right?
No.
Okay.
No,
I mean, I've given my life to try to prevent, and the majority of our research is actually focused on children and prevention of children's injuries. So it would be incredibly hypocritical of Dave Janda to say, well, I think that it's fine to put a pair of scissors in the back of a kid's skull after the baby is born or in womb. In the ninth month, 8th month, 7 month, 6 month of a pregnancy. I mean, there are laws already on the books right now, and it is not for you or I, Dan. We don't have the capability of changing the law, but we know the law exists about Roe versus Wade, And now Cuomo has stepped forward and said, well, you know, guess what? You can terminate a pregnancy after 24 weeks. And then he put a lot of gobbledygook language in it, but they said that, you know, abortion could be necessary to protect the patient's life or health. And that's a very slippery slope. I mean, is the health, the mom delivers the child and the mom says, you know, I'm having a bad day. I don't want to have to deal with a kid for the next 20 years. We're done. Now, what's the chance of that happening? And I've delivered several hundred kids in my career, which is nothing. I was trained as an orthopedic surgeon, but I did go through obstetrics training when I was going through my medical training. But I've spoken to, since this law was put into effect in New York, I've spoken to a number of my colleagues that have been involved in thousands of deliveries. And it's interesting what they say. They believe that the chance of a child being delivered or late-term pregnancy and a mom saying, you know, no, forget it, we're done, is what they have described as being infinitesimal. And what they have told me is that, and I agree with them on this, that there was a lot of political grandstanding, and this is a PR, if you will, move for Andrew Cuomo and his governor of Virginia to essentially pay back their donors and to actually get more funds so they can run for an even higher office.
Do you think
it would not surprise me to see Andrew Cuomo running for president.
Do you
and
think
the funding where he's coming from are the very globalists that are behind this push for these late-term abortions?
Do you think this is a preventative measure or maybe an end-around, whatever you want to call it, that they may be anticipating Roe versus Wade being overturned in the near future?
I think they're using that. They said that. I think, again, that's marketing. I think it's all about this is what's really, I mean, there's so many sick things about this, about what happened in New York and what these governors in Rhode Island and Virginia are speaking about. But this is another sick aspect of it that the bought off mainstream fake media is not going to touch because they're also owned by the globalist syndicate. And that is these politicians are using this issue and what a number of folks have called infanticide in order to fill their campaign coffers so they can run for a higher political office. Now, here's a proposal, Dan. What they also had in this bill was that, and I believe there's a reason for it, that physicians, it didn't have to be a physician that was involved in the termination of the pregnancy. It could be a physician's assistant. It could be a nurse practitioner. It could be a midwife. Okay, I have a proposal.
Because let's hear it on the other side. There's the music. Let's hear it on the other side. There's the music. That's perfect. I get what you're saying. You know, maybe now that's true that not many mothers will do this, but wait till they throw $50,000 in front of them for organ harvesting. Wait till our society declines some. I mean, this is awful, awful. Stay tuned. ThePowerHour.com. If you need to load up with the Power Mall products, now's the time to do it. We got the warehouse moving sale, the Living Clay, the Heart Drops, the Good Health Naturally, Sherry Rogers CDs, all on sale. ThePowerMall.com. ThePowerMall.com. Of course, Global Healing, all those products on sale. We can't put that on the website. So, of course, Hempanol. If you want Hempanol, we haven't put it on the. It's unrefined hemp. It's not CBD. It's not marijuana. Whatever. It's unrefined hemp from Cass Ingram. All the North American herb and spice. Those are on sale at the Power Mall. 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. Getting back to Dave Janet. Dave, you had a proposal about this whole abortion issue.
Well, as I mentioned in the legislation in New York, they said that medical providers could actually do the procedure, which would be physician's assistant, nurse practitioners, or midwives. Now, the reason why I believe why they put that in there was because they felt that they could not get enough doctors down the line to be involved, right? Because we do take that oath, do no harm. Yes, there are a number of doctors that do these procedures, but not in the last term of pregnancy or after a child is delivered. And that's one of the reasons why I believe they put that stipulation in there that you could have other medical personnel do the procedure.
Well, so insidious. Here's
the suggestion. These politicians make decisions in a vacuum, and they never get their hands dirty. Well, you know what? If they're going to do this kind of thing, then guess what? Here's my suggestion. Here's my proposal. That Andrew Cuomo, the governor of Virginia, and whoever other politician that goes along for this, and anyone that's voted for this, what they need to do is they need to be the first ones to be the medical providers that do this.
Ooh.
Okay? So let me make it easy for them. Physician's assistants, they have to have a bachelor's degree. All politicians, for the most part, have a bachelor's degree. So what they have to do is get two-year training, a PA training, and then they'll be certified. After they take a test. Okay.
This is a great idea, but I have a feeling that some of these politicians, you know, that they've done things like this before. I'm not alleging anything. I'm just saying that I don't think they have any problem choking out a baby.
You know what, Dan? Not in public. Any other ramifications in public. And I agree with you. A significant number of these people, I believe, are compromised, if you will, compromised from a pedophile standpoint. I wouldn't put that past these folks. But this is all behind closed doors when they're doing that other stuff, which is horrible enough. But no, anyone who signs on to Andrew Cuomo needs to go to PA school and become a PA. 2 years.
I would love to see that. Okay. I would help pay.
And he can be the first one to do this. Now, I will tell you, after he gets 4 days' worth of training, and PA school is not easy. 4 days' worth of training, it starts to learn about the human body. I predict that he would be unable to perform the procedure. That's 4 days, let alone 2 years.
Mm.
The problem is these politicians make these decisions in a vacuum, in a bubble, and they never have to get their hands dirty. And the only way anyone should ever even contemplate this is someone, the first person that's going to do this, is a person who pushed it politically.
Let's change venues here because it's going to get me upset again, and I'm going to be punching holes in the wall over here again. But let's move on to we've heard rumors of possible indictments with Trump, possible death threats on Trump, and possible threats direct threats to his life that have actually occurred. We see the border issue there. Where are we with all these issues? Is Trump pushed into a corner like many think? What's your feeling?
Well, it's a lot of different parts there. So have there been assassination attempts on Trump? Yes, I believe that's the case. And why do I say that? Based on the folks that I speak with, who I've known for many years and in some cases several decades, that have access into, and some are still very active with the government and different agencies, I believe President Trump, I believe his family is in harm's way 24/7. But I believe he also has incredible protection, not just from the Secret Service, and I'm not going to go into it, but I believe several other layers of which the president and his family are protected. And, in fact, his probably closest advisors also have that same protection. I believe what makes the president a target of the deep state is that he is not bought and paid for by the deep state. Now, there are people out there, Dan, that say, well, he's a globalist and he's part. Really? If he's a globalist, why are they so intent on getting rid of him? Why are they so intent on impeaching him? Why are they so intent 24/7 in deriding him?
Why have we not seen arrests other than, you know, Roger Stone, Flynn, and that other guy?
I can disagree with you, because if you look at the FBI and the Department of Justice, there are 28 high-level officials within the Department of Justice and the FBI in the past year and a half that have either been fired, terminated, under investigation, or resigned. that has never happened in the history of our country. Understand, when President Trump took over, he had rotten sheriffs, that's the FBI. He had a rotten court system, the courts. He had a rotten executive branch. The whole mess was rotten. And in order for him to make arrests, you have to have a sheriff that's Andy and Mayberry and isn't somebody who's bought and paid for. So the first order of business was cleaning out the sheriff's office. In other words, cleaning out the FBI and cleaning out the Department of Justice. Then, if you've seen, the number of judges he has appointed has been enormous.
I mean, the Supreme Court
has had two, pretty soon three, appointments that are going to happen. On top of that, he's put in about, just the other day, he had another 51 that he had nominated. He just nominated, everybody talks about the Ninth Circuit Court, he just announced a new slate of picks for the Ninth Circuit. And he's been loading up the Fifth Circuit down in Louisiana, where they're going to bring the Obamacare decision, where Obamacare was found to be unconstitutional. Under the radar screen, he's been loading the Fifth Circuit with judges.
These are very good points.
Guess which way that appeal's going to go?
Yeah, that's
right?
Very good.
So we have all these Department of Justice officials, FBI officials, that are gone. He's cleaned house there. Now, as far as the indictments are concerned, reportedly there are these thousands of indictments. What I've been told is that all these thousands of indictments are not going to be unsealed. Some are. And the other indictments are going to remain sealed, but those people where they remain sealed, those individuals are in the process or have been flipped to turn over information on people higher up than them.
What can we expect as the end result?
The sequence is the president on September 17th of 2018 said he wanted certain documents declassified. The FISA warrants from Carter Page, the text messages between McCabe and Comey, the 302, the FBI forms filled out on Bruce Orr. I was told this was going to happen in September. On September 17th, he came out and said that. And then all of a sudden, it started to get slow walk. Well, that's when Jeff Sessions got fired. And that's because Sessions was slow walking that declassification. Now, what's been happening, and the sequence, I understand it, is declassification, indictments start to get unsealed, and that's when you start seeing the perp walks. But here's the thing. If they prematurely go after people and start arresting people, and those people get off on a technicality, because let's face it, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, John Brennan, the former director of the CIA, who I believe is going to be one of the first people, by the way, James Clapper, Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch, all these people are going to have the best legal talent in the world. And you've got to have your T's crossed and your I's dotted, because the last thing you want is to put cuffs on these people, walk them down the street in an orange jumpsuit, bring them into court, and then have them get off on a technicality. That is a problem, because then you have the double jeopardy problem, and they walk.
We've heard rumors that there will be military tribunal courts on this because it's such high treason, some of this. Is there any truth to that?
There's some documentation for that in public. If you look at Judge Kavanaugh when he was going through this first series of questioning, Lindsey Graham spent over five minutes of his questioning to Judge Kavanaugh about military tribunals. Are they constitutional? Yes. Have they been used in the past? Yes. What are they used for? Enemy combatants, folks that are involved in treason, in sedition. Can they be utilized again? Yes. And it was only after that line of questioning from my sources on Capitol Hill that all of a sudden you started to hear about, there's some woman problems in Kavanaugh's history. You see, that was the globalist going after Kavanaugh, because it was confirmed that Kavanaugh would side with military tribunals for certain issues, such as treason or sedition.
Hold that thought right there. On the other side, do you feel Trump is pushed into a corner on this border issue? We'll get there. One more segment with Dave Janda. Consider him a friend. He's just a great resource. Love to have him. DaveJanda.com, ladies and gentlemen. Check him out. We'll be back. ThePowerHour.com.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief.
Been a real pleasure to have Dave come on. We'll have to have one again sooner than... how long it's been this time. DaveJanda.com is his website. Operation Freedom is his radio show. Very connected, very informed. Great to have him here. As you were talking, telling the story last segment about Trump wanted to release the Pfizer reports, those kind of things, the improprieties there in September, and then he didn't because of Sessions. Sessions was fired. The question obviously becomes, well, Sessions is gone now. Why have they not been released?
It's a great question, and here's what I've been told, is that when the president releases the declassification, it is going to turn everything on its head. It's very deleterious to the deep state, and the deep state will counterattack. The counterattack, best way to think of it, is a false flag event. And the president, I believe, from what I understand, wants to counter any false flag attack before it occurs. In other words, he wants to defuse it so that the deep state cannot counter. He felt, as I understand, that he did not have the situation countered to a level that would protect the American public to the highest degree, and that's what's holding up the release.
Do you think that he sees it more clearly now, or, you know, in September the threat wasn't there, or what?
I believe he thought he had the countermeasures taken care of, and he got wind of another type of event that could be implemented, and he did not have all his ducks in a line at that point, and that's what he's been working on for the past several months.
Any time frame, do you think?
I don't know. I've been told there's one person who will make the decision on the declassification, which will really upend everything, and that's the president. And the president holds his cards very close to the chest.
And you're getting this from your contacts there at Washington or some of your
Yes.
older contacts? Okay. Let's get to the border. I mean, many people think that I've even said when Trump came out like this, I mean, for good or bad, he's pushed himself into a corner. It's almost like, you know, the line in the sand. He's going to live or die right there on that line. You seem a lot more optimistic about his propositions here.
Well, I do, in a sense that if you look at what he's done, he's identified, he did it again today. He talks about why the wall is necessary, that it's a multifactorial reason in addition to border security. In particular, it's about the stoppage of the drug trafficking, stoppage of human trafficking, and stopping and minimizing the criminal.
Let me pause right there and interject. Look, anybody with any common sense, anybody who knows anything about anything, knows that you need to stop the flow back and forth on the border. A wall, obviously, it may not be the total solution, but it's a solution. It's a good start. Mm-hmm. Anybody with any sense knows that, okay? The Nancy Pelosi's of the world, they absolutely have a different agenda. They're not going along with it. So making a case out of common sense, doesn't mean anything. Is he going to be able to build this wall?
He's already building it.
Well,
it's already in the process of being built. There's 20 miles currently being built right outside of El Paso.
Do you think he's running the bus here? Do you think he's
yes.
run a gambit on Nancy Pelosi?
Yes. I think he's already lost, as has Schumer. And they haven't even figured it out yet.
Yeah, I mean, that goes in the back of my mind. I kind of think that. I can't see how they can survive being the ones telling America that we don't need a border security. How can that ever be possible?
Well, you know, Mike Cutler, who was just on my show this past weekend, who's a 30-year veteran of the Immigration Naturalization Service, he's a guru of security and border security. And port of entry security. He says it right. He goes, look, he goes, all this technology, the drones, the technology, he goes, think of it as like is the best, most fancy security system inside your house, okay? He goes, let me ask you something. I want you to think of the wall as your front door. He goes, now take the front door off its hinges, but you still have that really fancy security system. What good is it?
Good point.
Right? It is a great point. So if you look at the polling, even the biased polling on behalf of the globalists, Trump has gained support over his push. And
maybe I'm underestimating that part of it, the PR war that's going on over this. Maybe, you know, I have seen that during this time there has been a chance to go back and forth that way. Maybe I'm underestimating
Dan,
that.
Dan, I live in the People's Republic of Ann Arbor, Michigan, where government can never be big enough, right?
Yeah.
We have had a number of our friends come to us and say, listen, you need to know something. A lot of the folks, these are our friends, that they hang with are staunch progressives, staunch globalists. And they're supporting the wall. And it drives them insane that they're actually supporting Trump on this, but they, even they, are supporting it.
What?
Now,
look, that's very interesting.
This is about safety. This is about safety and security, Dan. That's what it comes down to. And as you mentioned, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out. You don't take the door off your hinges.
I don't.
Be safe.
Well, not only safe, it lets my heating bill would be all out of the roof.
Yeah,
the roof.
Right. I mean, right? Yeah, like up here in Michigan the other day, we were minus 15.
Oh, my gosh. We got a couple minutes left, Dave. It's been really good having you on. Obviously, we talked about a lot of topics. Do you want to mention quickly the illegal surveillance, the Hammer situation, the Hammer program? Got about 2 minutes.
The Hammer was developed through the Obama administration, particularly under Obama's guidance. He had his director of the Central Intelligence Agency, John Brennan, who I believe will be indicted, one of the first people indicted, and his director of national intelligence, James Clapper, to create a system. They hired a guy named Dennis Montgomery to create a platform called the Hammer to surreptitiously and illegally surveil everyone's phone calls, emails, internet activities, financial transactions. In particular, they targeted individuals such as Donald Trump, Michael Flynn, the Trump team, Supreme Court justices, and the head of the FISA court, Reggie Walton. This was documented actually on our show as far back as March 19, 2017 by General Tom McInerney, who came on. And there were also some reports as well in a similar time frame from Tracy Beans and the like. But we were the first ones to do it on radio. The bottom line is the Hammer was illegal. It violated millions of Americans' Fourth Amendment rights. The fake Russian dossier that they used to go to the FISA court was cover for their illegal activity from the Hammer. The Russian dossier was cover. This is key. Was cover for their illegal activities. The Hammer activities from Brennan, Clapper, and Obama, just to name a few, should land them in prison for life.
Whoa. Well, so law and order would be absolutely fantastic. Let's have the Constitution. I mean, do you feel optimistic about our future, that the Bill of Rights or the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence will mean something again in this country?
I do, but this is not about one guy. This is not about a small group of people. Everybody has to get off the couch. They need to take this information that you provide, that we try to provide on DaveJanda.com, and they need to network it to their friends and their families and their neighbors and their coworkers. The only way we get our country back is from people that get off the couch, mobilize, and start educating and empowering every person in our country.
Well, thank you, Dave. It's been an absolute pleasure. You check him out, DaveJanda.com, Operation Freedom. So good to have you. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, I want you to be happy. I want you to be healthy. I want you to be successful. I want you to be free. That's what the Power Hour is about. ThePowerHour.com, ThePowerMall.com, Buy from the Good Guys, the whole thing. You have been endowed. You have the power. It is law in this country, the Declaration of Independence. God bless you. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you on the other side.